We will now read from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, kept through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So far the reading of God's word.
Beloved congregation, dear listeners, and all those who are in our midst, in Psalm 68, verse 20, David says, He, the Lord, is our God. He is the God of salvation, and unto God, the Lord, belong the issues from death. David is allowed to glorify in God, and to glory in God, and to glorify the Lord. He is a God, David says, of salvation. The original language actually says of complete salvation. That's also in the Dutch translation, a God of perfect, complete salvation. So we can add that word, complete salvation. From the beginning till the very end. We have sung about that. The work which the Lord has begun, He will fulfill. He will complete. He will perfect. Well, that perfect salvation, that complete salvation will be given to all of God's children. Also David, he is connected to this God. He says, the Lord our God. My God, the God of all His people, is the God of our salvation. The God who delivered me from the beginning and who will continue His work of deliverance till the very end. So that means if the Lord works this salvation in your heart, has worked that salvation in my heart, it is a complete salvation. The Lord does not do any half work. He will not finish His work halfway, but He will complete it. That's what Paul says in his epistle to the Philippians. Maybe having the conversion of Lydia and the jailer in his mind when he says, the good work which the Lord has begun in your life, He for sure will accomplish, will fulfill. And that not only makes David to glorify the Lord and to glory in God, but also the children of the Lord in this morning, the true believers, in their heart, with their works, and also with their very deed. The form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, and we will read that at the end of, after the administration of the word, before the commemoration of Christ's death, says, in one of the beautiful sentences, just before prayer, and not only show this in word, namely that we are all together one body in Christ, but also in very deed. And I'm convinced that means there in the deed to go to the Lord's Supper towards one another. So the obligation not only to glory in God by words, by deeds of life, but also do ye this in commemorance, in remembrance of me, to come to the Lord's table. Before we do that, let us briefly consider one of the beautiful texts connected to that word of David with which we began, out of the high priestly prayer, which we have read, John 17, thereof particularly verse 3, John 17, the third verse, where we read the word of God, the words of Christ, our text in this morning as follows. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life. That's our theme in this morning. Eternal life consists of, first, the knowledge of the Father, and secondly, the knowledge of the Son. Eternal life consisting of, first of all, the knowledge of the Father, and secondly, the knowledge of the Son. In these chapters, dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ is with His disciples in the Passover room. It is already the Thursday evening, the evening in which He would be betrayed and delivered into the hands of the Roman soldiers and King Herod and Pontius Pilate. The last evening of His life on earth before His death and sufferings on the cross. I've said it already. I'm convinced of that personally. After having celebrated the Passover, Judas disappeared. And then Jesus took the last cup, the seventh cup of the Passover, and before He shared that cup and the disciples drank from it to celebrate the Lord's Supper, using this seventh cup to dedicate the Lord's Supper, Judas has gone away. Jesus had said, what you have to do, do that hastily. Namely, betraying the Son of God. There came a distinction between the precious and the vile. And it's so remarkable that after that moment, the heavenly lessons, which Jesus already begun, deepened. And the high priestly prayer has spoken out without Judas in the presence of these 12 people, among whom the Lord Jesus Christ. High priestly prayer. The prayer which speaks about Jesus' mediatorial and meritorious work as a high priest, in which Jesus spoke about his Father, verse 1a, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. But also specially spoke to his Father. Jesus, he speaks about the Son, as thou, verse 2, hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He is the King. And Jesus speaks also about his church. And that's our text. But these three things together, the Father, the Son, and the church. As the church know the Father. And the church, the children of God, know the Son. There is a connection between the Father and the Son and the Father and his children, the church and God the Father, and the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ and his church. 7-6 ties, so to say, from one to another mutually. And in this wonderful triangle, we see what binds these three parties, three things together. God the Father, God the Son, and God the and the church of God. They are bound together by knowledge, by knowing each other. Jesus speaks about that they may know thee, and that they may know me, because they are known by God the Father, and because the church is known by me. So what binds these three parties together is knowledge. And we saw already out of especially the sermon, the preparatory sermon out of Ephesians 2, knowledge is love, and love consists of knowledge. Jesus prays for his church, verse 9. I pray for them, not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. Judas, who didn't have admission to the Lord's Supper, was away already, I said. So Jesus includes his church and excludes the world. World including all kinds of people, religiously or not. I pray not for the world, I pray for them. That doesn't mean, and I come back to that in this evening in the reflection service, that the gospel message is not for the world. It is. But congregation grace in experience is not believed and is not experienced by the world. It is for God's children. The Lord's Supper excludes the ones who do not know God and includes the poor and needy sinners in themselves who are rich in Christ. Now Jesus prays to his Father, who is higher than he is. And may also the Lord's Supper and the celebration of this wonderful and precious sacrament lead us up to the highest place where God lives. But he does more. In his prayer and speaking to his Father, he carries his church to his Father. By his mediatorial intercession, he is the mediator. And yet in all struggles of life, it is true what the Hebrew writer says, wherefore he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. These people are linked, are connected to the highest God. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Oh, how blessed that means, how happy is the people who know the joyful sound. May it be in your life fulfilled as well, my poor unbeliever and unconverted Christian. They are blessed because they possess, our text says, life eternal. It's remarkable. I said it already out of one of my former sermons. Life eternal doesn't start in heaven, but it already starts on earth. This is, not this will be, but this is life eternal. How different from the worldly people. They have only temporal life. David says they are men of the world, which have their portion in this life. No future, no prospect. But for those people, it's applicable what the poet says in Psalm 89. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, even in this morning, in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. What is now their possession? What is now their riches? What is now their beauty? What is this life eternal? Well, first of all, that they might know. That means they have to know, so Jesus presumes that they are knowing. They have to know, that means they already know, it's an urgency. The blessed thing, the life eternal in the life of God's children, is first of all that they are knowing, that they know God eternal. The only true God, there is no God besides God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Do not serve any other idols, any gods which are idols besides me. God himself, of whom the poet of old already said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. To possess God, Jesus says, is eternal life, because knowing God is possessing God. Knowing your wife or husband is possessing each other. Knowing your child, your parents, your grandparents is possessing them. These people are so blessed who have life eternal, because they know, and in that knowledge, in that possessing knowledge, they have admittance to, they possess the only true God. So our text I put down on my notes is not a definition about eternal life, first of all, but rather a description to eternal life. Eternal life, congregation, if we speak about a definition, it's life in heaven. That's clear. But the way to eternal life, the description of the way to eternal life, starts already on earth in the hearts of the believer. And now Jesus says they know the Father. Thee, he says, the only true God. That means there's no salvation outside of God. Have you learned, my friend, that in true conversion, in what way the Lord started, how more or less he deepened the knowledge of your sins and iniquities, the time it lasted, longer, shorter, but you learned to know the living God. Something was poured out into your heart which the Bible speaks about, the love of God, and it looks the opposite, but it's actually the same. The spiritual homesickness to God, longing to the Lord, desiring to learn to know him. Oh, you sought him because you missed God. He was lacking in your life, and that urged you to seek him and to please him, to try to please God. And to seek for the only love of God in your hearts, and to fulfill that empty place and store it in your life. And more the Lord taught you to learn God. He drew you as a righteous God. He demanded of you as a holy God. He asked you to follow his will, which you never could do from yourself. But one thing was true, that only word, the true God. And then that only word become reality also, the only God. And that one verb became the necessity also to know Him. And in that verb, the knowledge of Christ, the urgency to possess Him. Now, how is that now possible? The knowledge of God the Father only can become reality by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ whom thou Father hast sent. Jesus does not mean, congregation, that in the description of the way of salvation, these two things follow on each other. First of all, the knowledge of God, and then the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that in spiritual life it often goes that way. That's true. To learn that we do not possess God, that we miss God, that we seek Him, that we try to please Him, to serve Him, and that it is an urgency to know the Lord Jesus Christ by whom only these things are possible. But we may never separate these things from each other. The word "and" does not mean "and after that." No, Jesus urges. Jesus emphasizes. Jesus underlines the fact that it is both. To learn to know God, and there's no other way to learn to know God save by Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the knowledge of God and the only way of salvation. You can also turn it around. The only way to know the Lord Jesus Christ is by God. There's no other possibility save by God the Father to learn to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can come unto me, Jesus says, unless the Father will draw him. So these two things are wonderfully combined, bound together. You remember my picture of the triangle. What will happen if we take one of these three points away? It will not be a triangle anymore. All of a sudden, the six lines mutually between each point of these three will change into four. So Jesus says, the Father and the Son are connected. The Father gave His only begotten Son out of His wonderful love and His wonderful mercy. And the Son, He experienced His wonderful love and the commandment of His Father in exactly doing what the Father asked Him to do, pleasing His Father's will. And now these two, God in Christ, Christ by God, they gave themselves to the sinner, and the sinner is knowing them by faith. So one element comes on top of that, not only possessing, but also believing in Christ. Oh, how wonderful was the work the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He says in Luke 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, He hath sent me to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. How precious His names! Jesus, Jehovah saves, Christ anointed, being sent to their salvation. Having been sent to their Savior as the anointed Messiah Christ. Sought for His disciples like the good shepherd who sought for all the lost sheep. Finding them as children of Adam. Connected them by the second Adam by himself to God. And so these sinful hearts of these lost sheep. They learned to know who Christ was, the only begotten Son of God, sent, having been sent by His Father, whom thou Father hast sent. And that Jesus, He again connects Himself. Jesus Christ, Jehovah saves, anointed with His Father by whom He has been sent. That means something spiritual life. Jesus not only learns, teaches to know himself, who he is, in his wonderful power, in his precious blood. But Jesus bridges the cleft between the sinner and his Father. He brings back the sinners to the heart of love of the Father. That's what he meant. Precisely. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way to the Father, only by me. And one way to the Son, only by the Father. Bridging the cleft by his blood in suffering and dying. And so eternal life is possible, being depicted by the Lord Jesus Christ in his wonderful description of what it is and how it will be known. Finally, congregation, this precious Savior will be known by the whole church. There's no other way. There's no knowledge of salvation outside of Christ, and no knowledge of Christ outside of the love of the Father. There's no rest for your heart and peace for your soul without God the Father and without Christ. And then, when our eye of faith will gaze the Son, and will look upon the Lamb of God, oh, how much salvation in him. How powerful the power of his blood. How beautiful the peace resting at his heart of this mediator and at his precious feet. There's deliverance of all our sins in the mediatorial work of Christ and in his sacrifice on the cross. And that learns to know the church. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must and shall and will be saved. Hear then Jesus' wonderful words, what it is all about in this morning. And that's the bridge to celebrating the Lord's Supper and commemorating the death of Christ in remembrance of him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him whom thou the Father hast sent hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is already passed from death unto life. Amen.